The time is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Good evening, everybody. I'm Ed Ronco, and welcome to the first of three live election call-ins on Raven Radio. Tonight, we're featuring Assembly candidates Cheryl Westover and Mim McConnell, and we're featuring you. We'll be taking your calls tonight. The number to call if you have a question for the candidates is 747-5877. So let's, before we go to the phones, let's just give you both an opportunity to introduce yourself quickly and talk a little bit about what made you interested in running for, or in your case, Cheryl, continuing on the Sitka Assembly. Mim, let's start with you.
Well, I have lived in Southeast Alaska since 1975, and I've been involved in my community in various capacities pretty much wherever I've lived since I was in high school. And I enjoy interacting with people in that way, and I've learned a lot over the years and enjoy participating on that level. So I just saw that, you know, there was an opening for the Assembly. I've been kind of watching the Assembly for a number of years and decided that this was the year to get involved. And so put my name in, and voila, here I am.
All right, Cheryl?
Yes, Ed, thanks for having us here tonight. Initially, I ran 3 years ago, or a little more than 3 years ago, when, after watching many Assembly meetings and even school board meetings and kind of seeing what went on, and I'm thinking there's a whole group of people out in Sitka that isn't being heard. There are a lot of thoughts that aren't including them. So I thought, well, I'll just run, and I think I've proven that I'm very fair on issues. I look at all sides, and I make my decision usually at the Assembly table unless it's an ongoing issue. I was born and raised in Sitka. I care about Sitka continuing to be a thriving community for not just me as I get older, but for my nieces and nephews and for everybody's kids. And so I'm just trying to do the best I can with what I have.
This is a live call-in forum, so let's hear from you. The number to call if you'd like to ask a question is 747-5877. You know, this is the first uncontested Assembly race in a little while. Why do you think that is? Cheryl, let's start with you.
Well, after doing it for 3 years, I truly believe that it's time-consuming, and I don't mind, but I also think you'd end up making a lot of people unhappy on one issue and the same amount of people happy on the other side and then the next issue. But you take a lot of what I call pot shots from people. And my attitude is, you know, if you think you could do better, throw your name in the ring, because it's decisions are tough and they're going to affect you in a way you don't want them to. But if you're doing your job, you're trying to take care of what's good for Sitka.
Mim, what are your thoughts on this, that you know, not a lot of interest, it seems, in putting people's names on the ballot this year?
Well, I was surprised. I thought for sure there'd be more names turned in. I know that there were some other packets taken out. Why they weren't submitted, who knows? It could be any number of reasons why. It made our job a lot easier. Not have to save some money, don't have to campaign and raise funds or anything like that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I also think it is good to have a good, lively debate before an election, and for people to have a chance to learn about the candidates and make a good choice. So
maybe a bummer for the lawn sign and bumper sticker industry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are some decisions that that voters will need to deliberate into the polls. And one of those, two of those actually, the ballot propositions. And let's just recap those. Proposition one, or proposal one, is to approve $7 million in bonds for road repair. Number two, to increase the sales tax 0.5% to pay for those bonds. Which way are you leaning on the ballot questions, and why? Mim McConnell.
Well, it's a tough one. I mean, nobody likes to see their taxes raised. I mean, it was tough going from the 5% to the 6%, even if it was just a seasonal raise. It's hard to make that switch. I send out invoices to my clients, and it's hard to have to charge them that extra amount and same for myself, to have to pay it. Nobody likes to do that. But it was a decision the community had made, and we're faced with that again. And this is no frivolous thing that's on the ballot. This is taking care of business, business that had not been taken care of in the past, and now we're having to do it the hard way. And it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of choice. So I'm leaning towards voting in favor of this. So,
Cheryl Westover.
Yes, I'm very supportive of both, and you have to have one to have the other to pass anyway. But I just don't see us ever catching up on fixing our infrastructure vis-a-vis the road system that we own. And the $7 million, what is a little scary, the $7 million isn't going to cover a whole lot of our what needs to be taken care of. I'm hoping perhaps there are neighborhoods that aren't involved that may want to get in on some LIDs, and maybe it'll be a little less costly for the folks involved there. And then hopefully after the 5 years, if this passes and we get the roads fixed, then we can start being a little more aware at the assembly table and put money aside to continue this rather than to ask for a tax hike. And if the folks don't vote for it, we'll just have to muddle along and fix a pothole at a time is what'll happen.
You said LIDs. Let's clarify that a little. What is that?
Land improvement developments, and those are sidewalks and paved roads and maybe some good drainage systems in your neighborhood. So,
all right. The number to call if you have a question is 747-5877. This is a live call-in forum. Right now a live forum. We're hoping you'll make it a live call-in forum with Assembly candidates Cheryl Westover and Mim McConnell. That number again, 747-5877. Let's jump into some city issues here. The city's lease at the Hames Athletic Center, it expires October 31st. So what, if anything, should the Assembly be doing about Hames, between now and then? Cheryl Westover.
Well, I'm sure something's going to be happening probably at our next meeting to see if the Assembly's willing to look to find some money within our budget. No money was budgeted. And I think what's coming up this year is a little scary. I mean, we've got union negotiations that weren't budgeted. I mean, because you can't budget for something you don't know. Just like the attorney that we're going to need, we didn't even budget the money for the attorney, and we pulled some out of the hat. I'm afraid that the hat is running dry. We used to be able to pull money out of the hat. I don't know what we'll do. It's it'll probably be an assembly decision, and then ask Mr. Wolf to do his magical, money moving. But right now, I just have no idea what we're going to do about it.
But do you see that, do you think that something needs to be done, or is this a case where the city could say, well, let's just end it? And
you know what, this is my personal feeling, and I believe that, because we're hearing how many people are using it, and I think if it needs to be kept open until the voters actually if they ever do get a chance to vote on it, I think with the user fees, I think it's time to make the Hames Task Force and SJ get together and say, here, we'll give you the user fees and you keep it open for us. I don't know why, I'm not sure why we're being asked to do this when we weren't allowed to, or the vote, the people didn't get a chance to vote to see if they wanted to pay for this.
If you have a question, 747-5877. That's 747-5877. We're talking about the Hames Athletic Center and its future. The lease expires October 31st. Mim McConnell, let's go to you now. And just what do you think, the Assembly, if anything, should be doing in regards to Hames after October 31st? The future is a little uncertain.
Well, I would like to think that there's a way for the city to keep paying the lease for a while yet, still, until some other solution is found. Whether that can happen or not remains to be seen. It obviously is going to come up at an assembly meeting, I would assume, before the end of the month when the lease runs out. And after that, I just, who knows? I just don't know. I think that it's the having a community PE center like that is a benefit to the community health-wise, even just for mental health and physical health, emotional health. You know, exercise is good for you. And having something available like that for young people, elderly, whoever, to go use is, I think it's a, it, this, the community wins from that, and, as the people do too.
All right. We do have a caller holding on the line, and so we'll go right to them. Gretchen, you're on the line. Go ahead. What's your question, please?
I actually had a comment. This is Gretchen Clark. I'm with the Hames Task Force, and I just wanted to respond to Ms. Westover's comment regarding wondering what the task force is doing and why we haven't gotten together with SJ and figured things out. And I just want to reiterate and kind of echo some of what Ms. McConnell has said, in that one of the responsibilities, I am a public health professional and I live in that world, but one of the responsibilities of a municipality to its people is to provide for the better health and welfare of them, and to think beyond individuals as living in an economy, that we live in a society that really does require and benefit from things beyond just the basic hospital, school, police. We need to be proactive and responsive to the needs of our citizens before they get to the point in which they need a police officer or a fireman or a hospital worker. We need to take care of people before they get to that point, and part of that is providing community recreation center. And communities across the world, across the state, across the country have recognized that, and I certainly hope, and I know that I'm not alone in this hope, that Sitka will join that recognition, and that our assembly members will follow suit with that.
Well, Gretchen, what do you see as some possible solutions here to the, you know, the situation? I mean, there's money that needs to be found to keep it open. So what's the best option in your opinion?
Well, it's my understanding is that $148,000 was budgeted for the fourth quarter and the fiscal year for Hames, and only approximately $40,000 of that has been utilized. So there is money, to my understanding, and this is from financial reports from a couple weeks ago, there is approximately $120,000 available in a Hames line item within the budget, and that could certainly, with the revenue that comes in from users, and it's costing approximately $20,000 a month to operate, that could certainly hold Hames going for several months until a more finite decision is found. In a more long term, I think there is a tremendous history and record and a burgeoning support across the country and across the state for particular taxes, such as an excise tax on sugar-sweetened beverages or on alcohol. There's tremendous precedent throughout the country for that. And as a home rule municipality, Sitka does have the right, per Bert Stedman, our Senator Stedman, to select our own tax codes. And we do have currently a higher tax on tobacco that benefits our hospital. I think there are creative ways we can look at taxing sugar-sweetened beverages, perhaps to serve not just Hames, but other entities within the city, such as Parks and Rec.
All right, Gretchen, thank you so much for your call. Cheryl Westover, what about that idea? You know, new taxes or a different tax that would in some way you know, provide some new money for recreation in Sitka?
Well, if we're going to provide a new tax to do this, then I think we need to ask the people. I personally, and I think Gretchen may think that I'm anti a recreational center. I'm really not, but several years ago I said, you know, let us not spend this money on Hames. Let us look at school grants and maybe build a recreation center in conjunction with a school. There's about 60% of grants involved, and then we would only have to worry about, you know, paying the 40. There's this need, I guess, to save the Hames PE Center, and it's a dinosaur. I mean, I've talked to the people that did the initial plumbing and that. it cost us a lot less to start over, build something smaller, more efficient for this community. And, you know, to me, the money that we're spending now, I think we were even told that that SJ's subsidizing our recreation, and that kind of soured me a little bit to the Pacific Towers people, because I'm sorry, that building would be in the same shape as the rest of the buildings if the city weren't paying to keep it up and keep it open and keep it from going further downhill like the other buildings.
Mim McConnell, the future of the long-term future of a recreation center in Sitka, how would it be built? How would it be funded? Do you see this as a good option?
I don't know. Possibly. I mean, it's. I don't think we should rule out anything. I think ultimately what we want is a community PE center. It doesn't really matter what the facility is. And so I don't think people should lose sight of that in this. The Hames one is the only one that's been presented to me. So that's what I'm dealing with. But if there are some other ideas out there for doing something different that would be more cost effective, I'd like to see the numbers. I'd like to see a feasibility study on it maybe or something. But I haven't seen that. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, Cheryl Westover, jump on in. You're nodding your head.
Right. Mim hasn't probably seen. Gary Smith from Schmolk Mechanical has a building that Alan Marine had not too long ago using it to sell boats. And he came up with a plan to convert that building into a rec center. And down the road, there's even room to build a small pool. You know, there's money in the Stevens Fund that could maybe like a no-interest loan to renovate that building into a small rec center. I just think asking for the moon, because the Hames, we're told $15 million. I don't know any big construction job that's ever been what we were told, and that's minus the pavement and minus the I'm just talking about the actual renovation of the building. And I just think we could ask the people of Sitka and get something much smaller and have them a lot more willing to reach into their pockets and help with that.
The number to call with a question, 747-5877. We do have two callers on the line right now. We're going to go first to Michelle. Michelle, good evening. What's your question? Is that Michelle on the first line? Go ahead, caller. Sorry, I might have gotten your name wrong. Okay. I think we might have lost that caller. Let's go to Grace. Grace, good evening. What's your question, please?
I can't hear it.
Good evening. Grace, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Grace?
Yes, it is.
Good evening. Go ahead. You're on the air. What's your question, please?
Hi. Well, I had a comment regarding the cost of Hames. To rebuild Hames, the Ketchikan Recreation Center was $28 million, and that was 2 years ago that was built. And I think that Hames can be phased in. There can be phase one, phase two, phase three, and I don't think that everything in the report needs to be done. So I really don't think it needs to cost $15 million. And just wanted to put that out there, that I think it's much more costly to stay with Hames than to try to create something new.
All right. Well, let's get a response. Thank you so much, Grace, for your comment. We'll start with Cheryl. Cheryl, you got some thoughts on this?
Well, as far as phasing Hames, we had a expert engineer, and we paid $75,000 for that study, that told us if we tried to phase in the reconstruction of Hames, it would cost you, and I'm not going to say twice as much, but he said it would be significantly higher to do the phases. And so I think we got to be real careful. I'm going to take the word of an engineer over people that are wanting something so badly that they think we can do it in phases and be fine economically.
All right. Mim, anything to add to that?
I do remember reading that report that did say that it would be more costly to do phases. I definitely can back Cheryl up on that, but other than that, no, I don't.
Okay, well, let's go from Hames to kind of expand out a little bit and talk about SJ as a whole. And the University of Dubuque paid a visit to Sitka this fall that kind of sent some energy through the town. Oh, you know what? We have Michelle back on line, on the first line there. Sorry we dropped you, Michelle. Go ahead. What's your question? Good evening. Michelle?
Hello?
Hello, Michelle. You're on the air. Go ahead with your question,
please.
Oh, this
is Caroline.
Oh, I'm sorry, Caroline. go ahead. What's your question, please?
One more thing about Hames is that Hames is operating now. And if we move to a different venue for physical activity, my question is, would that make a place for people of Sitka to, would there be a lapse in time when Hames is closed? My family really suffers because we use Hames almost every day for recreational activity. And if we start over from scratch, will that make it so we don't have a place to go and swim or play racquetball or use the weight machines?
Caroline, that's a great question. So let's put it to our two candidates here. Just kind of, if the city did decide to go the route of building new or creating a new rec center, how fast could that happen? How much lag time would there be between the closure of one and the opening of another? Mim, what's your view of that?
Well, from what I read, it could take up to like 18 months, and that the center could be closed down for a large portion of that time. So, if renovations are done, the community would be faced with having that happen. I don't recollect whether it was for the whole time. Maybe Cheryl would know more about that.
Cheryl, we look at the timeline.
Well, as far as the engineering report and doing the fix on Hames, it was 18 months. And I have to say I'm not familiar enough with the time frame of the one that Gary Smith proposed for his building. But at some point, no matter what we do, we're going to be without that a facility like that, and we're going to have to go back into community schools. And as far as a pool, I'm sorry, we have a beautiful pool that really would accommodate pretty much all the pool necessities, but community schools might have to go back to where it was. And I grew up here. We didn't even have a gym. I mean, we were out playing and doing things, and I think we could do that for whatever time frame it took to either build new or actually not probably build new, because everything's been so focused on Hames, we haven't gone after school grants or tried to do that. I don't know how fast we could do that. We could sure give it our best if we chose another venue to utilize.
All right, 747-5877 if you have a question. And we're going to try this phone line again. Michelle, we hope you're there this time. Good evening. Do we have Michelle? Okay. Well, Michelle, if you're listening, we're very sorry that we're having some technical problems with your line. We will try to hope that your question has been asked and answered. Let's move on a little bit. We were talking just a second ago about Sheldon Jackson as a whole and the University of Dubuque visiting Sitka with interest in doing something there. If help from Dubuque doesn't materialize, should the city be proactive in trying to save the Sheldon Jackson campus? Cheryl Westover.
Goodness. That's a big question.
This is the question, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that saving SJ. It depends on what people want for SJ. It would be nice to have another educational facility there. But I don't know if that's really what the city's priority should be. I think the city should be working on the economic pieces of the puzzle that they do have control over. People forget that's not our space. That isn't our property. We don't really have any say over what happens to it until they're debt free and that's several million dollars away.
Mim, should the city have a hand in doing something with SJ's campus?
Well, I certainly think they should help if they can. I'm not sure what shape or form that would take. I think one of the things that the city could try and do more of, just as I think the state should try and do more of, is marketing the state and marketing our community. You know, the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau does a pretty good job with locally, but I think their activities need to be supported more. It's pretty vital what they're doing, and I know they can be pretty have a hard time with budget sometimes. So I'd like to see that what they're trying to do strengthened, and that to me kind of plays in with the SJ campus and trying to promote something happening there.
Okay, back to the phones. I've got a sign in the window that says Michelle is once again with us.
Sure, let
no one accuse us of not trying. Michelle, good evening. Are you there? Oh, please be there, Michelle. Okay. Well, I'm sorry again. We aren't having much luck with that phone line. Chris is joining us. Good evening, Chris. What's your question or comment, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So, my name is Chris Briner. I was an employee of Sheldon Jackson College for 6 years prior to its closing, and stayed in town. I'm definitely a person who would love to see something positive happen there. But through all of the news that's happened with Dubuque and other things, my personal opinion is that I think any future for that campus is going to be really difficult to come by when the current Board of Trustees are still the folks responsible for it, and that those are still the folks that the city or any other entity like Dubuque needs to work with. This was the group that terminated 100 of its employees with an hour and a half's worth of notice, that left students without a college to go to 3 weeks prior to the start of school, and who has since then essentially tripled the debt from the day they closed to the day we stand at now. So I'm wondering if either candidates feel confident that a future on that campus is possible without a really serious sort of change in the leadership, or if essentially anything we do is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
All right, let's go first to Cheryl. That's an interesting question. The idea that some of the people in charge, or some of the people who were in charge when things went wrong. What can be done? I mean, what's the thought there? And what, if anything, can the city do about that? You can't really reach into the leadership of that entity, can you?
No. And thanks, Chris. I totally agree with your statement that it was an entity that just left their staff and employees hanging at the last minute. And it seems to me the city has been left to figure out what to do with SJ, even though SJ has a full-time employee and a board of trustees. And it seems like the board of trustees gets mad when we don't want to do what they want to do, yet they leave it almost all decision making to us. So do I see something happening with the present powers that be? No, but I think if somebody came in and the campus were debt free, then I don't think you would have the same powers that be, but that's a big if. But thanks for your call.
Min McConnell, the leadership over at SJ, or what's remaining of it, What how does the city work with that group of people?
Well, I remember quite a bit of. I remember when the board came to the city, and the SJ's director came to the city, asking for money to keep the campus open, and there was this big deadline, and it was. You know, there was a lot put on the city assembly at that time, and I know the assembly made a difficult decision and decided to not request, or meet that funding request, and things just went downhill after that, to the point of the campus suddenly closing and leaving people without work, and apparently a pretty good exodus out of the community, and it's certainly has not been a happy situation.
Yeah, I mean, a college.
We missed the college.
Sure.
It was a vibrant part of the community, and it would be so good to get it back. And I know we're all hoping that Dubuque is going to be the one that's going to come in on the white horse and keep it going. But, Chris, I hadn't really thought about what you have brought up there, to be honest with you, so I don't really have an answer.